It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. You have any questions, give us a call or send us a text. 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fabulous Seafood Shed.
Oh, yeah. Always good food. Always good food.
Awesome food, baby. I tell you, it was unbelievable. I've went in there recently in the last 3 or 4 weeks, and they're so packed that I actually went to the bar, you know, and, you know, got a little toddy, and had my little meal brought over there, you know, to the bar, and I'm like, I need another one of them mouthwashes there, Lex. You know, give me one of them adult beverages, you know. But that's so cool, man. And it's just quite peaceful there sitting at the bar. But if you're sitting with the right people, you know, what the hell.
There you go. It's all about who you're with.
But, you know, we're getting into the area where it is. And when, well, actually, Squid Ink downtown, where you can sit outside and, you know, watch the human race. And all of us racers like to watch a race, you know.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, a human race is the best race there is. Yeah. It's different every time you see it.
I like watching people.
Yeah, I do, too. I'm a people watcher, especially if they're good-looking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that helps.
Well, that definitely doesn't hurt.
No, sure. But, you know, then, you know, Sunset Point, you can go out and sit out there and you know, and overlooking the bay and watch the sunset, man, and whoo. Then Ed's is the same way, sitting back on that on the back porch, down on the lower deck and all. And even on the, up on the upper deck, I just enjoy it. That is good social chow eating. And they put good food in their food.
Yep.
So whatever that means.
Or real food in their food.
Real food. Put real food in their food. Yep. You know, it's kind of, you know, I'm thinking about that. I don't think they're part of the deal that we had over the, you know, Valentine's Day, where everybody was getting the steaks out and all, you know, from out of the coolers, and they were coming by and putting the red roses in there for the, you know, for the cows that died, that furnished the steaks, the vegetarians.
Yeah,
I'm not on that page.
No,
I didn't go to that class either.
No, I'm sorry, but it's that was their purpose, you know, for being here.
Undoubtedly. You know? Yeah, well, I guess we've got to have that other percentage factor. Yeah. But then they had another little shot there. I guess it was on TV, I saw it. And the guy sitting there, country boy sitting there, and he's eating big old steak. Looked like it's about a half a pound. And he's working up on it, and he's got a little vase sitting there, and he's got a red flower in it. So I love that rose. That's the prettiest little rose. And he reaches, gets him another big bite of that steak. You know?
That's right.
Oh, Southern boys.
Yep, absolutely. But I tell you what, it was a very pretty weekend this weekend.
You guys had a good race weekend, didn't you?
The weather, well, I don't know. The weather was a little iffy there Saturday, but we went over for the Pure Stock race, Pensacola, and ARCA race. You know, I didn't hang around for the ARCA race because I was ready to get back home. But we've had better weekends at the racetrack with Pure Stock, McCarran Day Motorsports car, and we did okay, but just way off on speed, part of our own doing, but you know, hey, we're not gonna be perfect every time.
Done that, and you know, and one of my best examples of going to Pensacola and racing a big race over there is we went out and sat on the poles at Fast Time and come back in, and you know, I said, all right, just, you know, everybody get you a wrench and let's make sure we don't have any loose nuts and bolts and screws on the car, you know. And so I said, I'll take care of the distributor and that stuff. So I took my screwdriver and popped the distributor cap off and reached in there and just made that just a little tug on that rotor button.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it crack, but it did.
Yeah.
And then we went back out there and we're sitting on the damn pole and everybody liked to run over us. Bam, boom, bow, boom.
Yeah.
Going like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Shh. I mean, you know, from perfect to stupid.
Yeah. Well, I'm normally, and if and I'll have people make comments at times, if I'm confident in the way my car is working,
right,
I'll go to the racetrack. I'll bolt tires on it, and we'll go race.
There you go. Okay.
The hood may never come off of the car all night long.
Sometimes that's best.
Yeah.
That's best. If it's right, don't mess with it.
Right. It's
if it ain't broke, don't broke it.
when we went over to Snowball Derby this past year, and one of our guys was talking to someone from that had been to the racetrack with us and was out of town, and his only question is, said, have they pulled the hood off of it tonight? And said, no, it ain't been off of it all day. It's like, they're in trouble.
Y'all in trouble. Y'all in trouble if they had bullets.
They're in trouble.
Yeah.
So if I'm over there thrashing on it, yeah, they may have a shot. So,
yeah.
I've had decent nights that way too, but,
Amen.
I much prefer it.
That's
just
the way it goes.
To park the car, put tires on it, and sit back with a lounge chair and prop my feet up against it and sit there and watch everybody else work.
Yep. Those are the good nights.
Yep.
And then you don't, you drive it up in the trailer and you don't have to load it with a wrecker or two wreckers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good night.
Yep.
That's a good night. Well, I've been seeing something on TV and I want to run it by you. I keep seeing all of these little fancy code checkers.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they're presenting it to the public, it makes you think that is equivalent, that $29 code checker is equivalent to one of those $5,000 diagnostic pieces of equipment that you hold in your hand.
Right.
Because what they do is they take the high-dollar diagnostic equipment and they plug it into your receptacle there under the dash,
mm-hmm.
and they check it, and it gives a code. So then they unplug it and put the little $29 unit in there, and they plug it into their phone, get their phone involved, because you got to, because there's not enough technology in that little checker there,
right.
To do anything. All this guy, I guess, is a sending unit in it,
right.
Your phone. But you got to have the program in your phone, and it gives you the same number. Well, to me, the way they're presenting that is that all you have to do is take that code and that name of that code or whatever that item is and go to the local parts house and you buy that part.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess you can look on the phone or look on your phone or and off the internet or whatever, and it tells you where that part goes, because you hadn't got it off yet, undoubtedly.
Yeah, yeah.
And that fixes the car.
Yep.
Well, I know just enough about the electronics on all this new stuff to get me in trouble, but because I'm old school, I'm a mechanic rather than a technician, and you're a technician.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it code? The codes, aren't they being used to give you or the technician that's working on that car the area that you need to go to check and see what's wrong with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the code readers are good for what they're meant for, but the people that are pushing this, you got to remember the people that are typically pushing the agenda on this little $29 code reader,
right,
are the part stores.
Oh, heck yeah.
They want you to come read a code, go buy a part.
Right.
Read a code,
right.
Buy a part.
Right.
Well, when you get done reading codes and buying parts, then you got to come to somebody like me and actually get it fixed.
There you go. Yeah.
But trust me, if I could do the same job with a $29 piece,
oh yeah,
I would not own a $6,000 to $10,000 piece.
Handheld unit. Yeah, my first unit like that I bought when I was in the shop, mm-hmm. was like, I think, $14,000 or $16,000.
Yep.
And we called it a scope.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And, and that's what you had to have.
If you
wanted to check it out and do an accurate job of it, you had to have it. And you still have to have that.
Right.
I hook up to, I don't know how many cars a day. And that's not primarily what I do. I fill in and pick up slack here and there. But I still hook to probably, five to six, seven cars a day on my laptop. Yeah. and I'm doing it because that is the right piece of equipment to check it out. It gives you not just the code, but it gives you the all your data parameters that you have to look at to figure out what's wrong with it.
That's where I was going. Okay. You're dead on.
You know, there's trouble trees to go down and all this kind of stuff, but, you know, if you know what you're looking for and you know what the code is and you know, they give you the description of the code, which helps.
You've got to go in
and know how it works.
Yeah, what voltage it should have in it. And what voltage should be in the unit in front of it, voltage in the unit behind it.
Right.
Then you start determining what the hell the problem is.
Exactly. Well, looks like it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
All right.
East of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. But your thoughts will soon be wandering the way they always do.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Let's see, we got Dave from Gulf Shores here wanting an update on local racing or motorsports.
Dave.
We got, Pensacola's back to racing. They had their ARCA race this past weekend
right.
and kicked off their regular season. Irvington is coming.
Right.
They'll be racing this year. Limited schedule, but, you know, hey.
Four races, I think.
Four races, and I think a super late model race.
Right.
I'm just glad they're going to open the gates and
right,
let some people
right.
in this year sometime.
Well, you know.
Small steps.
From seeing on Facebook, it looks like Deep South is getting cranked up over there, too. The dirt track, because I see Kane's got a bunch of stuff on the
Deep South, and we got
Facebook.
Sunny South getting kicked
Sunny
off.
South. Sunny South is getting kicked off. I think we've been in the local. I don't know where local that, but Montgomery's got a big 200 lapper this weekend.
Yeah, it's time for Montgomery. Well, we also have not this coming weekend, but the next, I believe, is Ops. Rattler.
Rattler.
Rattler weekend.
Yeah, I don't like the rattlesnakes up there, though.
No. Luckily, when I won that race up there, they didn't try and hang
one. They didn't
one.
Try to put – well, normally they try to put – hang one around your neck.
Yeah, no, we didn't do that.
No. Just let some of his blood be dropping out of his head before you hang him around my damn neck. Yep,
absolutely. But we have – let's see, we got a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Hey, Tom.
What's
up?
Hey,
Kevin. It is the Jarhead. How y'all doing?
Woo! What's up, Jarhead? Big old hoorah out there to you, brother, man.
What's going on?
Y'all survived the big freeze last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and
we got through it.
It was 80-something degrees yesterday. I mean, I'm down at Dolphin Island walking around on the beach, you know. People are in the water playing. Yeah, it's just like... They're like, what?
Only,
just freezing last
Alabama,
week?
Right?
Yeah, only in Alabama. I saw a lady on there this morning. I think she did a run of 5K or something like that, or some run over at on the causeway, and she was showing all of her shoulders at the top of it. She said about the first sunburn of the year. Man, she looked like a beet.
I bet.
All right, well, here's my question for you guys tonight. 2012 Ford F-150, got 117,000 miles on it.
Oh, yeah, you broke in.
It belongs to my girlfriend, Regina, which Tom got to meet here not long ago.
Sure did.
When you start off, you get a thunk in the rear end or somewhere in the drivetrain.
Right.
Now, I have looked. I don't see any bad universals, but... You know, you never can tell until you take them off and get them out of the bind.
Right.
But it actually feels more like a weight shift.
Yeah.
Do you think that could be the run out, the ring gear and pinion needs to be shimmed, or would that few miles on it?
Probably not. I mean, if you don't have if you're not having a whining noise or anything like that out of the rear end, I'd leave the gears alone, even if it does have just a little slack. But more than likely, you're probably talking about, you know, a slip yoke, either in the transmission or if it's a two-piece shaft, that is a little dry. And when you let off the brake and go to take off, it actually relaxes and then moves, you know.
So you think it may be that carrier bearing then?
It was possible if it's a two-piece shaft, yeah.
Yes, you know, but it does have a little bit of play in that carrier bearing.
Okay.
All right. Well, the bushing, a little play in the bushing in there is fairly normal. But,
right.
You know, the first thing I would do is pull the shaft out, take the two-piece part apart, or if it has a grease fitting, go ahead and just take it loose and grease it and slide it in and out several times. Pull it out of the transmission, put some grease on the splines, and put it all back together and drive it and see what it does. You know, check your U-joints while you got it out. But
might as well.
Yeah.
Get her to drive. You don't need to be driving, Jarhead. They taught you how to handle a tank, not a damn forward truck.
I had this other problem that I've been dealing with for a couple of months, and I talked to you guys about it before, about a squeaking brake.
Mm-hmm.
Now, done changed the caliper, changed the hose, put ceramic brake pads on it, and it still gets a squeal when it's cold. Now I'm wondering if they could have turned that rotor down below the tolerances, will that make it squeal?
Not necessarily.
I hadn't seen that.
You know,
yeah.
Most of the time, what you get if it's cold, it's because it's got a light buildup of surface rust on it. It's
especially
probably not even where you can see it,
especially with ceramic.
Especially with ceramic stuff. And the problem with ceramic pads is that they do tend to make a little noise. A semi-metallic would be better noise-wise, but
ceramics are better brake.
Yeah, ceramics are better brake. They're going to last longer, and the dust comes off. It's more of a white dust.
Right.
You know? But
because them semi-metallics, they will turn them rims just as brown as
they'll,
they can be.
Yeah, they'll brown and black up those rims in a heartbeat.
They will that for sure. But you know, it's not unusual to see a brake squeal or hear a brake squeal when it's cold, because the pads.
Well, and it's funny. It only does it when you're backing up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. My town car does that.
Yeah. And if you start off cold and go forward, it doesn't do it at all.
Right. Mine don't do that. There.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
If I back up, that sucker's going to squeal.
And it's cold, it'll squeal.
It's got to let the first little squeal for about 15 feet, and that's it.
Right. You know, the squeal noise is actually a chattering of the pads.
Right.
I mean, you can put some grease and stuff, you know, the brake grease on the back of the pads. They make the little adhesive pads that go on the back of the brake pads. You can change the...
Yeah, and the rubberized stuff that you can paint on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All of the above.
You
but
can do
you know
that.
What else works? Duct tape.
Yeah. It's the key thing there is that there's really nothing technically wrong with it, you know.
It's just aggravating as hell.
It's just aggravating when you go to take off.
Yep.
You know?
Hey, and let me tell you, now, you guys, when y'all told me to replace the caliper, I'm sure that probably had something to do with it. Would have put a brand new caliper on it, and the daggum thing still got hot and would not release.
Really?
Now, that was probably a $10 brake hose.
We didn't talk about the brake hose. If we didn't, we damn sure should have.
Probably did, but
it went over your head.
I have kind of had my mind on that caliper, you know.
Uh-huh.
When that thing got cherry red, that's the first thing that goes through your mind is, caliper's bad.
Yeah.
But it was getting fluid to it, just wouldn't let it come off of it.
Right. Well, you know what happens with that is, from what I've seen over the years, is when that rubberized or Teflon rubber compound or whatever it is on the inside of that hose, when it breaks and it leaves like a flapper in there.
Mm-hmm.
So the fluid will go by it, But then when the fluid starts back, it raises that flapper up in that little old hose there, in that small passageway, and it won't let the fluid drain back off of it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate y'all's time, and good to talk to y'all again, and maybe we'll get some pretty weather here, and we can really do some working on some vehicles.
There you go, that's big right. guy. Yeah, right. I got mine. You can come work on mine anytime you want to. It won't bother me at all. I'm scared.
Hey, who's the best in town and the cheapest with the best prices to rebuild a transmission on a 97 Ford Thunderbird?
Mm. Ooh, what cheap. What the hell is that in transmission building?
I don't know if there is such thing anymore.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm fixing to recondition my old Thunderbird, I think, because
well, you're going to take the transmission out.
Car. It's only got 250,000 miles on it. Runs great.
Oh,
just,
hell yeah.
Won't go forward. It'll go backwards.
Are you going to take the transmission out?
Probably either that or take it to somebody.
Okay, mm-hmm. If you take the transmission out and you put it back in, then if you'll call me, I'll give you a guy's name. It's a bench builder, and he'll fix it for you, and you won't have a return on it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tom, I'll do that, and I'll get back in touch with you later on.
All right, Big Daddy.
Have a great night. We'll listen to the rest of the show, and hoorah.
Hey, Jarhead.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, Scuttlebutt Network.
Listen, I'll be listening.
Stand by, son. Make sure you hear the tirade.
I will do it, Tom.
All right, brother. Hang on.
Bye.
All right.
Tom's trying to find the limits of what the officials will let him get away with here, I believe.
I'm pushing that envelope.
You got to push for the edge. Yeah.
I'm pushing that envelope. We have so much subject matter now that's available for us veterans that, come on. We're ready to talk about it anyway.
Yep, yep. So, yeah, I know. It's we were talking about the brakes a little bit and how they will lock up at times and not release like they should. You know, you got to also remember that, when you get a blockage in that hose, when you apply the brake, you may be putting 1,000 pounds of pressure on that line.
Right.
But then when it releases, it has to actually just natural feedback.
There's nothing
pushing it back.
There's no pressure there.
It'll eventually bleed back down, but it takes a while.
It doesn't do it enough. It's going to keep your rotor from turning blood red.
Oh, yeah. You'll burn them up in a hurry. Yep. But it sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
I'm looking through my windshield when the sun is coming up. I'm proud to say I drive a truck. I don't think that I could sit there in an office every day, knowing out there somewhere there's a white line I can chase. Open road and a radio.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford...
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Ramco, along with Tom Clash. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we do have a caller online, special guest, Mr. Kim Beck.
Mr. Kim Beck is in the house.
Kim, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening to y'all crazy guys.
Hey, watch it. Takes one to know one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess. Is it snowing down there?
No. Hell no. Better not be.
Oh, okay.
No, it was 80 degrees yesterday. I don't know where it was nice and warm.
Are you up there by the Tennessee line? I mean, you're damn near in Yankee country.
Yep, just about. Why can't they have manufacturing plants in Mobile, Alabama, where I don't have to go to Chicago where it's snowing and crazy?
There you go.
Yeah.
Working a plant.
What's going to happen in Chicago now? This is a new city thrown on us here.
Oh, yeah. They're launching a new line of a paint series with some new types of paint and a new poly texture paint with some different clear coats. They have some some ceramic clears that you're going to put in our vehicles that they got to get burst on, and I get to do that for them.
Damn, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now, what advantage, you know, I know it's an advantage to the manufacturer. They wouldn't be doing it. Is there an advantage to any of us out here driving these vehicles around?
Well, sure. Sure there is. Just think about, the ceramic clear coats and the ceramic waxes, the ceramic sealants. And, it's just a hard shell polymer that they have out there. And so they're incorporating it into the clear coats now, so that it makes it more scratch resistant. But on the other hand, it makes it more harder to work on, because when you scratch it, it takes more to get it out.
Right.
You can't just color sand it and buff it. Make it go away. You got to really finesse it to, because it's hard. It's got more of a.
I got a couple of questions about that. That I'm gonna let Kevin, since it's his show, I'm gonna let Kevin go. You're talking about ceramics and you're talking about the polymers. I mean, to apply that to where that's an activated source in the paint, you don't have to have any special heat of anything to it, or are you using chemicals on that to build a heat in it to make these polymers work? I mean, how is that process? What's the basics of it that a mechanic like me would understand?
Yeah. We're using heat. It's 321 degrees Fahrenheit that they're bringing the temperature of the paint to really blow it out and melt it in.
Okay.
So this is a technology that you won't see the body shops do.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
How the hell is the body shops going to fix it back like new?
I can't. Because Kevin, he can tell you what happens when you bring a computer up to 300 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, well, I'm as worried about the plastic pieces inside the car, and the laminate glass, and
I set you up on that.
Yeah,
I set you up. I apologize, but the way we do it at the factory is you mask it with aluminum foil.
What?
And aluminum foil will, honestly, I can put 300 degree Fahrenheit on a paint job. With windows, with the chrome, with the computers in it, and it masked with foil, and it will not touch it.
Really?
What?
Nope.
So you can't use masking tape or masking paper. You're having to use aluminum foil.
Aluminum foil.
So wait.
Good old aluminum foil that you go buy at the grocery store to wreck a turkey in.
Okay, well, I was just about to bring that up because, every Thanksgiving I cook a big old turkey and it's wrapped up in aluminum foil.
Right.
And it's in an oven.
Yep. Right.
That is not 375 degrees.
Right. But it cooks inside of the aluminum foil.
Yeah, the inside of that turkey is cooked, I promise you.
Okay, there, Guru. Now explain that
me,
one.
Explain to me how that one works.
Now, you asked me something there that I want to know. I got to tell you this, though. I've got a picture of the heat lamp that a guy hung a chicken under it, and he had it hung in aluminum foil, and he cooked that chicken in it. He didn't know. The plant manager kind of frowned on it a little bit,
Yeah.
But that's a good question. But the aluminum foil will actually reflect the heat off of these. It's a different kind of. It's a microwave heat. It's an infrared oven heat.
Right.
It's not a heat like you. Open the upper of your oven and put it in, as far
okay,
as that.
So you right. can reflect the UV rays off of it.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Well, how long do you have to keep it at that temperature to make it work?
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Damn,
yeah.
That's quick.
Yeah. And yep. I could see, a lot of things surviving at that,
Yeah. But it won't. It's amazing. Headlights. But I tell you what, I found out the hard way. What happens if you leave a gap in that aluminum foil? In the edge of the headlight or the edge of the molding, it melts it.
Really? Yeah.
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 I've melted windshields. I've melted body side moldings. I've melted headlights. Especially when that winter we turn the lamps on the wrong side of the car. You got lamps all around the car, and you punch the area you want to heat up.
Yeah.
Well, there's a left and a right, and sometimes you get confused which one's left, which one's right.
Yeah.
And the technician punched the wrong side.
No, you're not voting now, Kim. You don't have to be on the left or right, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't be flip-flopping on us here now. You remember which side you're on.
Yep.
I tell you, that's so, I imagine they were proud of y'all on that one too. So
they were really proud. Yeah. That car went to the crusher.
Yeah,
went to the crusher.
Well, did y'all go ahead and turn the lights on the other side to go ahead and cure the paint before you put it in the crusher, or just let it go in wet?
Yeah, well, you know what? I didn't think about that. No, we just left the paint sticky.
There you go.
And this paint will not cure. It actually will stay sticky if you don't bring it up to the heat.
All right. Now, look, I'm going to go back. I'm going to get off of my mechanic side over here. Now I'm going to my automobile adjuster side of my brain. You buy that car for $70,000 or $80,000 or whatever it may be, and you've got this special paint on it, okay, and it's so many millimeters thick, and you have an accident, and then the car is damaged. But the car is repairable. So you have this car that's less than 3 years old. The accident is not whoever owns the car and was driving the car, the accident was not their fault. The accident was the other person's fault, okay? So I'm driving the car with this new paint and all on it, and then they go and fix my car. And they can't put this same paint on it, okay? Now I've got a different paint on it. The color is going to match, but it's not the same paint. So now I'm going to file a claim for a loss value for you damaging my car in the wreck and causing my car not to be worth as much when I get ready to trade it in. So therefore, the insurance company is liable to pay me the difference in that I'm going to lose when I trade my car in or sell my car.
Absolutely. Diminishment of value.
There you go. Okay. You're on the same page. How the hell is that going to work when you're applying something at the factory that we can't duplicate in the field?
That's exactly what it's for. You know, you can't do it. Now, I don't want to downsell the body shops. The body shops do a great job. They do, you know, they got good, you know, aftermarket.
Well, wait a minute, Ken. Wait a minute. How much is this damn oven cost that you're talking about is holding that car to 360 degrees or whatever? I mean, that ain't no $10,000 oven.
No,
you know, that's not a
$10,000. You're talking about $1 million for one of them kind of ovens.
Well, hello. Okay. Mm-hmm. Body shops can't do that.
Yeah, it's a million-dollar machine, but it don't know left from right.
But I'm
not. Damn. It's got some weak software, don't it?
Yep.
Well, that was human error, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if we blame it.
Yeah,
software.
The white matter in that software wasn't there.
Hey, I got to ask you a question, though. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, I'm trying to get a lot of you here in this little bit of retirement thing, you know, but, you know, we were talking about the black box. You know, the other night.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get to bring it up, the thing with the black box. When Tiger Woods just had his accident, there was a lot of talk about the black box.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered if y'all picked up on that.
Yeah, and I didn't get a chance to look at the results because they were talking about they had done the forensics on the accident and all that kind of stuff. Which I had to, they didn't say so, but I assumed that meant that they had been in and looked at the black box and, you know, did the measurements on the road and all the neat little stuff and got the G forces and all this out of it. But you know, I assume that they figured out that he was speeding, lost control, and run off the road. But you know, those black boxes they don't lie. They tell you everything. They'll tell you whether he had a seatbelt on, how much brake pressure he had put on, his steering input, how fast he was going,
right.
You know, and there's just a whole host of other things that it pulls up for sure, you know. But
let me ask you a question, and you get to do this. I think we've got to go to break. You interjected something last time we talked about that. Back in my memory, it was only like so many seconds that this recorded. You said now it's gone to 3 minutes or something. Is that you, Kevin, or was that Kim?
Yeah, I know they extended
increased it.
And Kim, I think you mentioned it too.
Yep.
But
what did they extend it to?
Well, the last I've heard was, you know, one time one manufacturer was up to 5 minutes.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh, that's a bad title tale there.
But still, you know, used to it was just seconds. You know, it was
right.
just like 10 seconds. You know.
Yeah.
Before, you know, that it would record it. And see, I used to extract that black box information
from
vehicles.
Right, yeah, I know that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I accidentally erased one day because I took a hammer and beat on the door to get the door up to get to the box.
Yeah.
And that impact from the door erased the information that was on it from the accident.
Really? Whoa, that opens Pandora's box. What about the information that's going to be on the damn thing when you have the wreck? Is the wreck going to take it off?
Still powered up at that point.
Yep, so, it's still powered up.
Okay,
yeah,
still,
even
all right.
Even
yeah. Well, that's cool.
The
it's fired up.
Power source from it, yep.
So when you beat on the door with the hammer, it wasn't powered up.
Yes, it still had power to it.
Hmm.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was so. Would have remembered something there, but I guess not.
Yeah. Well, me too. I wish it would have, because I mean, you know, they kind of frowned at me a little bit. You just braced off our information, you know.
You just lost our case.
Yeah.
Hmm. See, you have to power. I had to put a temporary power source to it to make the computer work to give me the information.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Right. Well, Kim, hang on. We have to take a break, and I want to carry this conversation on after we hear from our sponsors.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say it was a kid that was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor, and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 12 cylinders, uses them all with an overdrive that just won't stall. Got a four-barrel carb and dual exhaust, 411 gears, so you can really get lost. Got safety tubes.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. If you have any questions for Kim, give us a call, 343-0106. Kim, you back with us?
I'm here.
Okay, sounds good.
That wonderful music you had there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have some pretty good bump music. I think we got some of the best on the station here. But yeah, that's part of the freedom of doing what we want to do on our own show. So
yep. There you go.
But, you know, I know we were talking about the black box, and you know, people don't understand that you know, it records everything. Don't, you know, when you come in and you run into the back of somebody or had an accident or whatever may have happened, and you say, my brakes failed, you know, the manufacturer's going to send somebody down and plug up to it and get the information out of the vehicle, and they're going to know that, you know, I don't know that I've ever really seen one that was legitimate. Yeah, I know at BMW had one that customer swore up and down, hit the brakes, it just wouldn't stop. Okay, well, they hit the brakes. They were going, first off, they were going 20-something mile an hour over the speed limit, and they had only pulled out like 100 yards before where they got in the wreck.
Oh, my Lord.
So they went from like almost full throttle to full brake within milliseconds. So they didn't have time to slow down, no matter what they were driving.
It's the illusion that you get from it that your mind is going trillion miles an hour,
right?
You know, and you feel like it, it's not stopping, but it is stopping. It's just that the inertia forces just don't allow it to stop.
Right,
you think it should stop?
Well, and it showed that it had like 1,600 pounds of pressure on the brakes, and it had stopped the wheels, and the analog was doing its thing, and it happened. You know, the impact happened less than a second after they hit the brakes. So it's like, well, you got a car going 60 mile an hour; it's going to take longer than that to stop it. Sorry,
right,
you know.
Right. There you go.
So,
exactly. So, they say, hey, my steering wheel wouldn't turn. You know, I've actually heard that.
Yeah.
In accidents about that. I mean, you get all these questions answered, with the black box and all the forces that goes along with it. So, people think, it's like I had one guy one night, asked me,
if it recorded your voice. No, it doesn't record your voice, but it records.
They don't hear that old.
Yeah. Well,
are they? Nobody's told us it has anyway.
Damn it to hell!
Well, you know
what's going on.
Yeah,
and honestly. You know, the technology is there if they wanted to. You've got forward-facing cameras. You got rear-facing cameras.
There you go.
Yeah, they could make all that stuff work,
They have the technology.
Yeah.
It'll happen, too. I guarantee you it'll happen.
It'll happen. Oh, yeah. Down the road.
I know the rear-facing cameras are not on if you're going down the road. Now, they don't come on until reverse lights come on. Not on our stuff anyway, but the forward-facing cameras for your collision avoidance systems and all that kind of stuff and lane keep, you know, it's a camera, but it's not really making an image, you know, not one that I've ever been able to find in the car.
It's a sonar camera.
Right. So
it has the ability to focus on moving objects.
Yeah.
Is that emergency application where the car does it itself? You're talking about?
It can.
Yeah.
They're showing where the guy's backing out of a driveway and the car stops itself because the truck passes behind them.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah, they've got side sonars, you know, in the back corner of the bumpers. You know, they have them in the front of the vehicles as well for the Super Cruise and the adaptive cruise systems that they have on the cars now.
I better stay a mechanic.
So it's and it's just getting more and more, you know. Some of these, you know, like our lane keep assist, it's actually taking that power steering and it's moving you back into your lane.
What's it reading? Can y'all tell me what it's reading to
on the lane keep? It actually does look for the lines painted on the road. And it takes that information and it decides, okay, you're getting too close to whichever side.
Oh, okay.
You don't have a turn signal on.
So it's a line reader.
Yep.
I'll be there. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're on a freshly painted blacktop or paved blacktop road, it don't work.
Well, if it doesn't have the lines or if the lines are old and faded, they don't work very well either. But, if you're also somebody like me that, you know, just kind of fails to use his turn signals like he should sometimes.
Do you have that? Is that a sickness or something? I got a dose of that myself.
Well, you know, people tend to cut you off a lot, so I don't see the point in giving them a heads up on where I'm going, so that way they can't cut me off.
I'm accustomed to putting my arm out, to go left, or my arm up to go right.
Yeah.
And my window don't work fast enough for
you took your arm off.
Yeah. Tom, it's your arm out, not your finger out.
Okay, oh,
so that's different.
Yeah, I was getting that he was number one.
Yeah.
Tom was giving the signal and everything. He just couldn't turn his blink light on. Right. He had his arm stuck out the window.
I just didn't. I was using giving him a signal. The window was up.
When you wave, you're supposed to use all your fingers. Okay.
Oh, all your fingers, not just one.
Not just one.
Oh, hell! So. I thought everybody knew that they were number one.
Yep. The technology is really coming along, and I tell you what, it's just more and more every day.
Well,
you know?
I've got the two gurus online here. We don't have about 3 minutes or so.
Yeah.
What is coming down the road that you know of that hadn't hit the market yet? What have you heard? What have you guys heard? Kim, what you got?
I've been stuck with paint technology here lately. I haven't gotten to, but I'm fixing to. You know, I'm getting back into the plant in about 3 weeks. I'll be back in the plant, and I want to do a lot of research for you. I want to mosey through the plant and get the and talk to the engineers and everything. So look for some good information coming. But I haven't had to talk to these engineers since the COVID has come around.
Right.
Yep. I tell you, that's been, you know, something that's been really different is you don't, you know, we're not getting to go to hands-on schools like we were. We're doing a lot more online
stuff. That's true with everybody. Everything's online, huh?
Yeah.
Skype and Zoom, I guess.
Yeah. And honestly, you know, and it's just like the school kids, you know. You can learn some online, but you don't really learn it until you put your hands on it.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
You know, I like the hands-on classes. even though, you know, there's some give and takes on that as well, you know, because I've been to some hands-on classes that if everybody's not on board to learn, it's kind of hard to get much out of it.
Right,
you
right.
know? But, you know, I was always of the opinion that, hey, I'm here, I might as well learn something
right,
out of
there
it.
There you go,
you know?
Yeah. Come spend a lot of money to send me up here to learn something. Yeah. What y'all got?
Everybody can learn something.
Sure.
I mean, no matter how long you've been in it, what you know about it, you can always learn more.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
The technology is scary, though. I mean, it is really scary. You talking about technology, though, just real quick. You know, they put me in a Lincoln Continental, and they were playing with me because I sit down in that Lincoln Continental, I shut the door, and I couldn't figure out how to get out because there wasn't no door handles, there wasn't no any way of getting out.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, just to cut the story short, everything was touchpads in that car. You know, even the doors to open was a touchpad.
Yeah.
You touched a certain spot on that door for that door to open. You touched a certain spot on the dash for it to crank. I mean, it was just like a computer, like your iPhone. Like
what year is this thing?
Yep.
What year was
and,
it, Kim?
It was like a 20. It was 2024.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, but that's what I was wondering is that there's a lot of technology and a lot of stuff is still coming down the pike.
Yep. Well, Kim, I appreciate you calling in tonight and talking to us and letting our listeners join us tonight. But looks like we run up to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and we will be back next week.
And all of our great vets and first responders out there, a big old hoorah to all of you. And be sure to catch Scuttlebutt Network Wednesday night at 8.
I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive.